is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk with feline behaviorist Pam Johnson Bennett. If you have cats or a cat, maybe you're thinking about bringing a cat into your life, or maybe you just find animals fascinating. You won't want to miss the interview, which is coming up in just a moment. But first, we need to take a moment to bring you a message. It's a very simple message. To continue to bring you the programs you rely on, you enjoy, we need to bring new members into the Friends of WILL. The Friends are folks who support the mission of WILL Radio, providing news, arts, and cultural programming. Now, here's the rub. The size of our federal and state grants, they're shrinking. Almost half, 47% of our operating income comes from private contributions. But of all the people listening, 1 in 10 makes a contribution, and our audience is growing. Have you done your part? If you have, thank you. If not, how about right now? Try us at the $75 level. You'll get Patterns Magazine and the member card. And a special thank you gift this afternoon. Dave Teal, who is the program director for WILL-TV, is in Pledge Central this afternoon. Dave, tell us about this lovely gift.
Well, at the $75 level or above, you can request as your thank you gift a copy of a book called Cat Versus Cat, and this is by Pam Johnson Bennett, who will be our guest coming up in just a couple of minutes here. It's a soft cover book. We have 10 copies available, so you can call in right now at 217-244-9455 and let the volunteer on the phone bank let them know that you're interested in a copy of Cat Versus Cat. Available at the $75 level. And, of course, also at the $75 level, you have, you're eligible for the member card, for Patterns Magazine. And we also have a nifty 2005 computer calendar that goes to everyone who makes a pledge during this drive. It's a little, you know, plastic strip with an adhesive back that you can stick on your computer and always know what day it is.
Yeah. 217-244-9455. Be the next to call this afternoon. We have 10 copies of Cat Versus Cat, and if you'd like to have that as your thank you gift, tell the volunteer who answers the phone, 217-244-9455, 244-WILL, or you can think of it as Big Will, B-I-G-W-I-L-L, and thanks to everyone who has joined us. Thank you. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and today we're going to talk about cats. Our guest is feline behaviorist Pam Johnson Bennett. She knows a lot about cats, what makes them tick. She's the author of 6 books about cats, including Think Like a Cat, How to Raise a Well-Adjusted Cat, Not a Sourpuss. Her latest book, her 6th, is about keeping the peace when you have more than one cat. Cat Versus Cat, keeping peace when you have more than one cat. Listeners, if you have questions about cat behavior this afternoon, give us a call. We look forward to hearing from you. Here are the telephone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. And if you're outside the local dialing area, you can call us toll-free at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. W-I-L-L. Pam Johnson Bennett has joined us previously on the program. She's one of our most popular guests. And if you'd like to talk with her this afternoon, give us a call, 333-9455, 800-222-9455. We'll get you connected with Pam. Pam, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always so nice to talk with you. Well, how are your furry friends these days?
They're doing great. They are happy. Unfortunately, yeah. There are a lot of cats around me who aren't happy, and that's how I stay in business.
Well, that's too bad, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. Your cats, how do they get along?
My cats get along very well. That wasn't the case when I started out many, many years ago, and that's how come I became a behaviorist, because I was trying to solve my own problems. But now the cats I have are happy because I really spend a lot of time looking at their world.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's trying to understand what makes that cat tick and see the world from their perspective.
Right, because a common mistake we make is that we look at a cat's behavior, let's say the cat scratching on the couch, and we think that's an abnormal or bad behavior. And it's not. The cat has a natural need to scratch. It's just we prefer that he not scratch on the couch. So when you change your outlook and look at what a cat needs to do and how can I supply that for the cat in a way that works for both of us, you become a much better problem solver.
Hmm. What are some of the other misconceptions we have about cats?
Well, I think the biggest one is that cats aren't trainable. So many people think, well, cats are aloof and independent, you can't train them. And we also tend to think that when they do something, such as not use the litter box or scratch the furniture, that they're being mean or spiteful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not true. Animals don't do that. They don't sit around at night and think of spiteful things that they can plan for the next day.
No, that's something that humans do.
Right. And so it's important to separate what is a normal behavior and what is an abnormal behavior, and look at your environment and the problem from the cat's point of view. And that's hard, because when a cat is not using the litter box or misbehaving, as we would call it, we get very frustrated. And so it's hard to kind of take a deep breath and sit back and look at it a little more objectively.
Yeah. Those are the two big issues, aren't they? Litter box and scratching.
Yeah, unfortunately. Litter box problems, that's probably the number one reason why cats get relinquished to shelters. And it's very sad, because in many cases it's a problem that's workable.
Mm-hmm. So what can we do to keep the cat happy about the litter box?
Well, the first thing you want to do is look at what a cat needs in a litter box. It's not just the bathroom, as we would think of it. A cat has a complex relationship with the litter box. You need to make sure it's clean, that it is in a good location, and I mean a good location for the cat. You may like it down in the basement so that you don't have to look at it, but that may mean you're not getting down there to clean it enough. Another problem that I see is that so many people have too many cats and not enough litter boxes. And cats are territorial, so you may have a couple of cats who don't want to share a litter box. And the rule of thumb is, and I know people are going to not like this, but you really should have the same number of litter boxes as you have cats. And if you're having a behavior problem and a litter box problem, you should have one more litter box than you have cats.
And where do you position these?
Well, in a multi-cat household, it's a little trickier, because you want to make sure you've spaced them out to deal with cats' territorial divisions. Because cats in our house, you have your basic house, which is one big territory. Well, within that territory, your cats have divided things up, whether it's one cat claims the bedroom, one cat claims the living room, or even down to pieces of furniture. One cat claims the couch, one cat claims the bed. So if you've put all these litter boxes in one room or one area, maybe you have a cat who's a little more subordinate. He's lower in the pecking order, and he's afraid to cross into the other cat's territory. So you want to look around and make sure you've covered everybody's needs in the hierarchy.
Hmm. A lot of observation involved here.
There is, but when we make the commitment to adopt, rescue, buy cats, and we're going to put them together, especially in a multi-cat household where, when you think about it, they didn't pick their companions. We picked them for them. So it's our responsibility to help them get along and create an environment where they can succeed.
Yeah, I want to come back to that issue in a minute. How do you select a companion for a cat or cats that you already have in the house? But a couple more litter questions here, litter box questions. What do you think about the mechanical automatic cleaning devices?
That's a hot button issue for me. I don't like them for a couple of reasons. One is they can be frightening to cats because if one cat is entering the room where the litter box is after the other cat has left and the rake is going through, it can scare the cat. Also, the actual litter surface is not that big. The litter box itself is very big because it has to house the motor. And the most important reason I don't like it is it denies you the opportunity to monitor what's going on in the cat's litter box. And that is one of the most crucial things you can do to see if there's a health problem.
Yeah. I know also you don't like the boxes with the tops on.
No, I don't like covered boxes. From a cat's point of view, it really is enclosing all the odor in that box. Very often the box is too cramped for the cat if you have a big cat. And also, if it's out of sight, out of mind, we tend to not clean it as much.
Mm. How much litter should be in the box?
It depends on the size of the box, but about like 2 to 3 inches. What I do is I make sure that a cat can eliminate about 3 or 4 times in that litter box and still have enough clean litter. If you have a cat who's a real enthusiastic scratcher and digger and you see the bottom of the litter pan, then you need to use more litter.
Okay, very good. And, yeah, in that actually, I'm doing okay, Pam.
Good.
Because when I scoop every evening, that's what's in there, you know? There are three different spots, and I think he's pretty happy about his box. He's a happy camper.
And it's good that you're scooping every day. I have a lot of clients I meet who maybe every other day they scoop, and it's important to do it. I think you should do it twice a day, morning and night, but at least do it once a day.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll get on that. Make a note to myself. Let's talk with some listeners. Our guest this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine is feline behaviorist Pam Johnson Bennett. Listeners, if you've got questions about a cat or cats, today's your day. 333-9455, the number to call in the Champaign Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. Our first listener this afternoon is calling us from Champaign, line one. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This question is about how you train a cat, and I don't know if you can train a cat, but I suspect you can. We have it's a Siamese Himalayan cross arrangement, and the cat gets us up at 2 o'clock in the morning to be fed, which we feed it. We have dry food out all the time, but twice a day we give it some food out of a can, and we used to feed it like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it woke us up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get fed again. So we're trying to get that changed around so we can get a full night's sleep. Do you have any ideas?
Yes, I do. Actually, canned food, you know, for cats, I mean, that's just gold for them. They love that. There is what I call a cycle of four. A cat out in the wild goes through four basic behaviors. He hunts. He goes through a vigorous activity to hunt. Then he feasts on his prey. Then he grooms himself. And then he sleeps. So if you take that cycle of four and apply it to your cat's behavior, how you'll do it is right before you go to bed, you do an interactive playtime with a fishing pole toy and wear the cat out. I mean, don't make it so that he's panting and going nuts, but you want to make it a vigorous activity. And then at the end of the game, you give him his reward. And that can be a little bit of the canned food, or if you want, you can take the dry food up in the early evening and then make a big ceremony about replenishing it right before bed. But you have to do it right before you go to sleep for about 15, 20 minutes. Then when the cat starts meowing at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whenever he is, you have to ignore him. For the next couple of days, he'll be confused why you're not paying attention to him. But after a few days, his internal clock will kick in, and he'll be more on a schedule with you.
Okay. That sounds good. Would you repeat that four-cycle thing again?
It's hunt, feast, groom, sleep. So if you've hunted, if you've done the playtime with him, he's getting the hunt. Then you give him the feast, and that's a little bit of canned food. Then he'll groom himself, and then he'll go to sleep. A lot of times the mistake we made is we come home from work, and we play with our cats early in the evening, and then we're winding down in the evening, but they're revving up. So by the time you go to bed, that cat's thinking, man, come on, let's get this activity going.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks for the call. Next, we're going to talk with a listener on line two. I suspect I know who this is. Listener in Urbana calling us from our very own Pledge Central. Line two, go ahead.
Good afternoon. Yes, this is David here in Pledge Central, and I'm also a cat owner, so I've been telling folks here that I've been wanting to call in a question myself. So
go ahead.
All right. Well, we have three cats in our household. We have one male, two females. They are all spayed or neutered. They're all older. I mean, not probably. The females, I think, are about 10 to 12 years. The male is a little younger. And lately, we've been noticing just more and more the male cat has been mounting one of the female cats. Only one of them, because the other one won't put up with him and smacks him anytime he gets around. But he mounts this other one pretty frequently, and we really can't discourage him. And it just seems like he's been doing it more and more lately.
Well, mounting behavior is also a dominance behavior. And in cat colonies in the wild, it's not unusual for cats to mount each other. Even males will mount males as a way of expressing dominance, and it also shows respect when the subordinate cat allows it. So I have a feeling that there's some territorial upheaval going on in your house where your male cat is feeling the need to dominate a little bit more. So there must be some kind of change that's gone on in your house. Either you've done some renovation or there's something that's happened.
He's been doing it for quite a while now, so it's hard to say, you know.
Okay. Do you have three litter boxes?
We have two, so that may be an issue.
Okay, I would get a third litter box. Don't feed them out of a community bowl. Feed them independently. So that your subordinate cat, the one who is getting mounted, kind of elevates in status a little bit. And take your male cat and every once in a while separate him into another room to let your female cats have the prime area and have the run of the house. That can help kind of elevate her status a little bit. And when you see him, when they're together and you see him walk in the room and you kind of know that he's about to do this, distract him with a toy. Have some toys handy or things, you know, even a ping pong ball, and just roll it so that you change his mindset from negative to positive.
If we catch him in mid-act, what's the best way to...
If you catch him in mid-act, then you want to make a noise that just distracts him. You don't want to yell at him or reprimand him, because all that will do is just add more stress to the situation. So what I like to do is what I call acts of God. It's like you make some kind of noise, drop a pan, clap a book, so that you don't know where it came from. You know, all of a sudden this noise happened that causes the cats to separate. But I really like to do, rather than do damage control, I like to get in there beforehand. And so for a while it means kind of knowing where the cats are and making sure that, you know, if you see them come in the room, you do this little play time. And also do regularly scheduled play sessions with him to kind of work off whatever frustration and anxiety he may be feeling in the relationship. But something's going on between the three of them, and it's the kind of thing, if I did a house call, I would look at their behavior when they're eating, look at the behavior around the litter box, but something has changed.
When you say feed them separately, I mean, do you mean just bowls in different parts of the house, or
separate bowls? If you feed out of a community bowl, if you pour dry food in one bowl, there may be something going on where one cat is trying to nose another cat out of the bowl. And every once in a while, that's okay. You know, I mean, I do that with my husband every once in a while. It's like, oh, I want that. You can't have it. But if that builds up and it gets to be the kind of thing where it turns into a battle of wills, it can carry over into other behaviors with the cats.
One other quick question. Is spraying, is that typically a stress-related issue?
Spraying, is the neutered male spraying?
It's the neutered, or the spayed female.
Is it
it's
the one?
In fact, it's the one that's getting mounted.
Okay. Spraying is not only a way of marking territory. When a subordinate cat does it, it's a way, it's kind of like covert aggression. It's almost like the cat is afraid to have an actual confrontation with your male, so by spraying, she's leaving a calling card and saying, you know, I don't like you. Let me see what you do about it. But you don't actually have to be there for the fight. So you need... There is definitely something going on.
Yeah. And, well, she has health problems, too, so we thought maybe that was, you know, it was caused by the health problems. But.
Well, spraying is different from indiscriminate urination.
Yeah.
But also, if she has health problems, sometimes in a multi-cat household, if a cat is sick, elderly, injured, that's sometimes an opportunity for another cat to kind of jump in status. Mm-hmm. And so that sometimes is when you see more frequent territorial behaviors between the cats.
Yeah. Hope that helps, Dave. Let's talk with another listener. Let's go on to a caller in Kingman, Indiana, line 4. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I can barely hear you.
Okay, how's that? Is that a little better?
That is a little better,
okay.
Thank you. I have a multi-cat household also. I have two females and a male. One of the females and the male are cousins. And they've been with us longer than the third cat, which is the third female. The male is the black cat, and he is a very complicated animal. He has been training me well over the last couple of years to keep his litter box very clean. But we have a problem between him and the third newest female cat. We didn't intend to have three cats. But a friend of mine had to take a job in another country and couldn't take his animals. So I figured, well, I've already got cats. So I'll take his cat, and he never came back for them.
Oh, goodness. So what
well,
is the problem?
She's actually the best cat in the household. But we keep her in the master bedroom because when we put her in the rest of the house, the male black cat tries to attack her.
Okay. How long have you had her?
We've had her probably now 3 years or four.
Oh, 3 years. Okay.
4 years. And she's had her own domain in the bedroom most of that. I think she was in the house with him less than a year. He attacked her, bit her on the back. She had big abscessed wounds. It was very bad.
Okay. Let me just preface this by saying that there are some cats who are not meant to be together.
Okay.
Now, I'll give you some tips on how to try to get them together, but sometimes it's
that was my question, whether there was any way that we could bring her out into the rest of the house.
Well, what I would do is start from scratch and just pretend you brought her in for the first time. Keep them totally separated. Get some Feel Away, which is the pheromone spray that you can get from pet supply stores. I would get the diffuser and plug it in because that helps kind of calm things and help the cats feel an identity with the territory.
It's called Feel Away?
F-E-L-I-W-A-Y. And the diffuser is called Feel Away Comfort Zone. It contains facial pheromones, and those are the pheromones cats release when they rub their faces on things, and it has a calming effect on them.
Okay.
Keep them totally separated. And then what you do is you put him several times a day, put him in another room, and let her start to venture out without the fear of knowing he's going to be around the corner. Do a little playtime with her. What you want to do is start to let her feel more secure about the environment, let her start to spread her scent around. Then, when you've done that for a couple of weeks, then what you're going to do is open the door of her sanctuary room and have treats. I mean, this is where bribery comes in. Have treats, have something where they're on opposite sides of the room. They see each other for mere seconds, but they get a treat, and then the door gets closed. You'll do that several times a day. So what they're seeing is that only good things happen when we're together, but we're together so briefly, it doesn't have a chance to turn bad. Then, because it's been a while and the aggression has been very serious, I would suggest the next step you go to is either doing three stacked baby gates in the doorway, one on top of another, or go to your home improvement center and get an inexpensive screen door. So that the cats become desensitized to each other's sight.
Mm.
And that will also give you a clue as to whether they can maybe get together.
Wow. Okay.
But it's hard because it's been going on for a long time. sometimes three cats, it's hard to have three cats. Sometimes those odd numbers are hard.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have cats who maybe, you know, some people can have 10 cats and have no problem. Other people have three and it's, you know, torture because the personalities just don't go.
Would you tell me one more time what I do with the pheromone spray?
It's a diffuser that you can get, and you just plug it into the wall, and it will, over the next month, just release these pheromones. It's called Comfort Zone, Feel Away Comfort Zone. You won't smell anything, but the cat will think it's his pheromone, so he'll think, well, I facially marked here. I must feel okay.
And it goes in which area of the house?
I'd ideally like to see you have two, one in your female cat's sanctuary room and one in the main part of the house where your male spends most of the time. And one diffuser covers about 650 square feet.
Hmm.
Or put it, if this room is, if you have an outlet right outside of the room, you can put one in the sanctuary room for the female and one in the hallway for the male so that whenever he's near her door, he feels a little bit more secure.
Okay. I don't really understand that, but I'm not a cat, so maybe I'm not supposed to understand it.
Well, pheromones, cats recognize each other by scent, and scent is very important. The front-end pheromones on the face have a calming effect. The back-end pheromones that are released when a cat sprays are released during marking, during sexual excitement. So when a cat comes across a pheromone that he facially rubbed, like when your cat rubs your leg or the door frame, it has a calming effect. Cats will only facially rub in areas where they feel comfortable.
And the pheromone diffuser is the same, it's just in
it's
two different...
It's a synthetic version of facial pheromones, and each cat will recognize it as their own.
Okay.
And it's not like a drug that's going to make your cat, you know, just think the world is wonderful, but it's just one more tool in your toolbox on helping reduce the stress and help them feel a little more secure. And if you get cat versus cat, that's strictly about multi-cat households, and it has extensive information on how to reintroduce cats.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. If you'd like to talk with Pam Johnson Bennett, she's a feline behaviorist. Anywhere else outside the Champaign-Urbana area, if it would be a long-distance call for you, call us toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And if you're just joining us this afternoon, listeners, we're offering Pam's book, Cat versus Cat, as a special thank you this afternoon to folks who join us and become a member of the Friends of WILL. And the book Cat versus Cat, we're asking for a contribution of $75 or more. And so if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to get the book Cat versus Cat, and you'd like to become a member of the Friends or maybe make an additional gift, give us a call at this number. This is the number for Pledge Central. 217, that's the area code. Then the number for Pledge Central, 244-9455, 244-WILL. And we have 10 of these books to give away this afternoon for a contribution of $75 or more. Meanwhile, let's go back to the phones here in the studio because we've got three more cat lovers joining us. First, we're going to go to Piatone, a listener on line one. Hi.
Yes, hi. Well, we have a beautiful black cat. She's got four white paws and a white chest, and we call her Phantom because part of her face is white and the other part black. And she has a history that she was spayed at probably as a kitten, or a very young cat. And there were five of these kittens or cats, and they were outside cats. We didn't have them in the house at all. And all of them disappeared, whatever happens outside cats, except this beautiful black cat. And now we've had her in the house, and she sprayed one time. I didn't know females sprayed, we're having trouble getting her house broke or, you know, trained.
Okay. Is she in the house exclusively now?
No, she's not. No, she's a very good hunter. She's tremendous condition. I've never seen a cat with such a wonderful coat, just furry and thick, and she's healthy and big and strong. And
do you have an indoor litter box for her?
Yes. No, we did. We didn't right away, and you know, and now we do. And I had taken some of her poo that was that she had put on a rug, and I put that in the litter box. And I had some urine too, and I put that in there. And then we locked her up. Somebody said lock her up in a room that doesn't have a rug, with the litter box in there. So last night we put her in the bathroom, a very confining room, and she meowed. But then she went. Then well, anyhow.
Has she ever used the litter box?
I think she did last night.
Okay.
Now I hear you talking about two litter boxes, and okay.
If there's an area where she's going, if she is going by the front door, if there's
yes.
a spot where she tends to go, does she go by the front door?
Well, that's where she went a couple times. Yes.
Okay.
And then she went back in the back room where there was a. Anyhow, it was.
Okay. If when you have a cat who goes indoor and outdoor.
Yes.
It's not surprising that when they eliminate indoors, they go by the front door because they're trying to get to as close to the outdoors.
They're trying to get out. Yeah.
So I would, and I know this is not very pleasant, but I would put a litter box for now by the front door.
Okay, fine.
And also have one somewhere else. Make sure
all
right. it's uncovered. Use unscented litter because you want it to resemble what she would use outside, which would be soil or sand.
Okay,
so,
unscented, litter.
Scoopable litter. You want something very soft. You don't want a you don't want a low-tracking formula because those are bigger granules. You want soft and smooth. And keep the litter box in good shape. Keep it nice and clean. And one of the things I find with cats who go indoors and outdoors is the outdoors is an insecure environment in that you don't know what cats she's coming across. And she may feel the need to mark her territory when she comes back inside.
Well, she doesn't like. We have four or five outdoor cats that are housed right outside our front door in a cat house, and she avoids them. She won't eat with them. She just thinks she's a lot better than them.
No, it's that cats are territorial, and
okay.
You know, so what she may be doing is coming back inside to the territory she knows, and she's marking as a way of.
Remember.
Making sure she has her perimeter clearly guarded. And I find that a lot with indoor-outdoor cats. They're coming across more dominant cats. They spray, and another cat sprays over where they've sprayed. So when they come back inside to an area where they know is theirs, it's a self-comforting behavior for them to spray. So you may want to think about, even though you think it's good to have your cat outside, she's a hunter, she's in good shape, it's probably stressful for her if she doesn't like these other cats. So you may want to think about keeping her indoors more and more and see if that helps the situation. You can still keep her in good shape by doing interactive play sessions.
Oh, she'll play by herself, I figure.
Yeah. Well, just create a stimulating environment, get a cat tree, do playtime, give her catnip, you know, every couple weeks, and you'll keep her in good shape.
Oh, she's the most darling cat. And I think, spaying the female before they've had kittens, she seems so much wants to lick. She licks our toes and our fingers, and she'll roll over on her back and want us to rub her tummy. And, oh, she's so...
Well, she sounds like a good candidate for being an indoor cat.
Oh,
she's obviously very bonded with you, so...
Oh, she's just so...
I would give that a try to do an indoor transition and see if that reduces her stress and helps her feel a little more secure about the litter box.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Good luck. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Champaign on line 3. Hi there. Do we have a listener there on line 3?
Yes, well, I'm here, but I can barely hear you.
Okay, well, how's that? Is that a little bit better?
That's better. Thank you very much. My husband and I have two male cats. They're both 9 months old and have been neutered. And I'm just trying to figure out the line between when they're playing and when playing is getting to be a bit too much, when they're getting too rough with each other.
Okay, at 9 months, they're still kittens, so they're trying to figure out that relationship still themselves.
Mm-hmm.
When a cat is playing, when two cats are playing, they will take turns being the mock aggressor. If you always see one cat chasing another, then that's probably crossed over into aggression. You want to see it, you know, maybe one day one cat is doing the chasing and another cat the other day another cat's doing the chasing. There should not be any
growling or crying. There may be occasionally hissing, because sometimes one cat just bites a little too hard and the other cat has to let him know, you know, uh-oh, I'm worried, you know, let's not fight. But if their ears are flattened back and that you hear a lot of hissing or definitely growling, then we're getting into more aggression and okay. less play.
Okay, because out of clearly one of them is more aggressive towards the other one, but at the same time we see that same cat that seems a little bit more submissive, he instigates it a little bit more mm-hmm. when and we're not around.
And that's normal. There will be a pecking order. You will find as they mature, and they're still very young right now, as they mature, especially when they get to be about 2 to 4 years old, when they reach social maturity, that's when you'll really see the definite line of who's the dominant cat, who's the subordinate one. But that doesn't mean the subordinate cat isn't going to instigate some playtime every now and then. So as long as it seems like it's fairly equal, you're doing fine. And if ever you think it's crossing over, you can distract them with something positive. Just
okay.
offer, shake a treat bag or roll a toy out. That way you're not punishing them or reprimanding them just in case they were playing. All you've done is just redirected their behavior to something
else. Okay. And what should I do if one of the cats starts to growl and becomes very territorial over a toy?
Well, it's not unusual for cats to growl or meow when they have what they feel is like a prized prey in their mouth. That's a normal behavior. So you don't really have to do anything about that. Just make sure that there are enough toys for everybody.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest today, Pam Johnson Bennett. She's a feline behaviorist. So if you've got a question about cats, this afternoon is the time to call in here to the Afternoon Magazine. Let's talk with another listener, also in Champaign, line one. Hi.
Hi. Is that me?
That's you.
Okay. Again, it's hard to hear you.
Okay. Well.
Oh. Okay. Now it's better. My problem is I got two cats from the shelter, and they get along okay. The problem is that whoever had them before must have fed them a lot or something, because they are always whining for more food. And they were obese when I got them, so I have to cut them back. You might be able to hear the cat right now, as a matter of fact. So I give them a little dry food. 4 times a day, but then they whine. This one whines for an hour or two before the next feeding.
Okay.
And they are going on 2 years old now.
Okay. First thing is make sure they've been to the veterinarian so that you know they're healthy, and your vet can help you determine what amount of food they should be eating during the day.
Well,
and
we've worked that out.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. And doing small meals more frequently is a great idea, because that way the cat thinks her stomach is fuller longer. The other thing is increase their activity by doing playtime. Distract them with playtime, kind of like we have to do. You know, if you're on a diet and you get hungry, you have to kind of go for a walk or do something else to redirect your behavior. The other thing that I found to be really helpful is at the pet supply store, you can buy these treat balls. They're plastic balls that have a hole in it, and they're hollow, and you can put the dry food in the ball.
Uh-huh.
And with practice, your cat can learn to roll the ball, and periodically a piece of kibble falls out.
Oh, okay.
So she's getting a reward, plus she's eating slowly.
Uh-huh.
And she's getting a little extra exercise. And how I start training the cats is I put the ball in the food dish.
Oh.
So the cat has to kind of nose the ball out of the way to get the food, and that way she's getting used to rolling it with her nose.
Uh-huh.
Then I fill it with dry food, and I kind of paw it myself so that she sees how to do it. And it's a great thing for cats who are overweight or cats who are sedentary or cats who tend to eat too fast. And you can find them at pet supply stores. They're great.
Oh, great. Good idea. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, glad we could help this afternoon. Next, we're going to talk with another listener. Line two, a caller in Savoy. Hi.
Hi, Celeste, and hello, Doctor. I'd just like to thank you for having this program, because it's excellent, and I'm really enjoying it.
Thank you. I'm not a doctor, though.
I'm sorry.
Certified behaviorist.
Okay. Well, I just had a question about my cat. He's 2 years old, and he's a strictly indoors cat. And he's the only one I have. I'm a college student, and I live in a house a few miles away from campus. And every morning, I leave from I leave for school, and my boyfriend told me that whenever he's around, he says that my cat will just stay by the door and wait, and just won't move from that spot, and will start meowing and crying. And I realize that he must be lonely, especially when I'm not there and no one else is there. And I just wanted to know what I can possibly do about this, because I don't think I can afford to get another cat. I think he takes up a lot of my attention right now. And I'd like to know how to keep him occupied. And I realize that, you know, loneliness and just being in a big house alone is stressful for a cat, and I'd like to know what you have to say about that.
Okay. If you can't get a companion for him, then there are things you can do to create a more enriching environment. If you can afford a cat tree or a window perch, make some kind of comfortable little window perch or cat tree so that he can look out at the environment outside, maybe even put an outdoor bird feeder so he has something to watch. I also, for my cats, set up activities for them, and I make it a little different every day. Like, I'll take a cardboard box, if I get a delivery, and I cut out and I make a tunnel out of it, and I might hide a ping pong ball inside, or I might make some tunnels out of paper bags, and I might hide some treats in there. I take toys and I rotate them. I only have so many toys out every day, and I hide them in different places. Like, I might take a furry mouse with a tail and hide it so that the tail is peeking out from somewhere, so that they're not just sitting in a basket gathering dust.
Right,
I make it
right.
So that my cat has an activity. As I was telling the previous caller about the treat balls, I also set those up for my cats so that periodically they find something fun to roll around and they get a reward. And the other thing you can do is get a cat entertainment video. They have these great videos and DVDs that showcase prey. They have squirrels and mice and birds. And I play that for my cat sometimes during the day.
Okay.
I plug it in. I have a TV VCR combo, and so when the VCR is done and when the video is done, the whole TV goes off. And so I'll leave that playing for them. So there are a lot of things that you can do to just kind of make the environment a little more stimulating.
Right. So in the meantime, I don't have a TV, but I have a computer, and I frequently left music playing or just, like DVDs of people just talking, really. And, would that be sufficient until I can find other things like...
Sure. Just set up, get your toys and set things up, and just try to create a little more adventure for him. And another thing I might do is make sure you're doing an interactive playtime with him, with toys, with a fishing pole toy, and do one session right before you leave in the morning so that...
Oh, yeah, actually...
That's good. So then he's more relaxed and ready to go. And what I do when I leave in the morning is I take a treat ball and I roll it as I'm leaving the front door so that my cats kind of know, okay, mommy's leaving, we're going to get something fun. So they don't come through the door and look at me longingly.
Right.
There are things you can do.
I've heard of doing that before. I just didn't want him to, because my cat, he actually fetches, so...
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cute, but I didn't want him to start to associate that with me leaving.
Well, you can put out a new toy when you leave. You can always like what I have maybe four or five toys that are out at one time, and I just rotate them.
Okay.
I have this, and so what I'll do is I can also take a toy, a little furry mouse they haven't seen for a couple days, and I might put that down when I'm leaving. But I just try to make my leaving less of a oh, gosh, all the fun's going
stressful
out of the
issue.
House,
yeah.
Into, okay, well, mom's gone, let's party,
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thanks for the call this afternoon. I'm sorry to say we've used up all the time already. It has flown by. Pam, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Thank you very much. It's my favorite subject, cats.
Yeah, well, it's one of mine, too. And I want to thank you on behalf of all our cat lovers out there in the listening audience this afternoon for the Afternoon Magazine. And I'm sure some point down the line, I'm sure we'll give you a call and have you back on.
Oh, that would be would be delightful. Thank you, Celeste.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Pam Johnson-Bennett has been our guest this afternoon in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. She knows a lot about what makes cats tick. She's the author of 6 books about cats, award-winning books, including Think Like a Cat, How to Raise a Well-Adjusted Cat, Not a Sourpuss. Her latest book is Cat Versus Cat, Keeping Peace When You Have More Than One Cat. And this afternoon we're offering this as a special thank you gift for listeners who call in into our Pledge Central number with a contribution of $75 or more. Cat lover Dave Teal, who is also the program director for WILL-TV, is in Pledge Central this afternoon. Did you get some help there this afternoon with your problem?
Yeah, I think I did actually. I really do appreciate the guest today because I'm going to have to try out a couple of the things that she suggested.
Yeah. Well, they're wonderful animals. They're wonderful companions,
yes, they are.
And worth taking care of them and trying to think like a cat. Right?
That's right. You know, I mean, they always say that they're not that much trouble. But that doesn't mean you can ignore them. But we want to just make sure we get some business in here. We want to remind listeners that right now we're conducting our pledge drive, and this is the time that you come and support programs like the Afternoon Magazine with your call, your pledge right now at 244-9455. Make a contribution and become a member of the Friends of WILL. And at the $75 membership level, we're giving away copies of Cat Versus Cat by our guest from the last hour. So if you've got a multi-cat household, you can pick up a copy of that book at the $75 level. Just call in right now at 244-9455 and let the volunteer know that you're interested in that book.
And again, that number is 244-WILL, 244-9455. We've had a couple of takers this afternoon for Cat Versus Cat, and our thanks go out to them. But if you've got more than one cat or you think you'd like to get another cat, this is the book for you, Cat Versus Cat, Keeping Peace When You Have More Than One Cat by Pam Johnson-Bennett, feline behaviorist. She's also the author of Think Like a Cat, How to Raise a Well-Adjusted Cat, Not a Sourpuss. You might want to look for that in your library or your bookstore as well. Keep everybody in the house happy and healthy. This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. It's 1:53 Central Time, 7 minutes before 2 o'clock. Let's find out what happened today on the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Todd Gleason.
Thanks much, Celeste. Hey, Celeste, before we get started, Cat Versus Cat, that'd be a book worth getting. I'm going to tell a quick story. I tell you about my cat, my wife, last year? Now, I grew up on a farm. Animals are supposed to be inside, but she wanted a cat, so she bought a cat for me for... Well, actually, it was for Valentine's Day. This cat is a little Russian blue. Came from the pound, by the way. Worthwhile to do that. This cat in the summertime probably would have been close to about 7 months old. My boys decided we were going to go fishing. Brought the fishing poles in the house. Didn't have the hook hooked up. And this cat decided that was something worthwhile. Put that hook dead center. I could not believe it. I was sitting at the computer, dead center in the middle of its tongue. That cat was hooked. Now, don't get too excited. The cat was fine. That hook was in her mouth for a while, and I thought we were going to have her knocked out to take her in, take that hook out.
Man.
Got in the van a half hour after this hook went in to finally decide that we were going to, I'd wrapped her up and gotten hold of the vet, and we were backing out. We no sooner got in reverse than that cat spit that hook out. Nothing wrong with her. Didn't even appear to hurt her at all, other than while it was in. It annoyed the devil out of her. It's a good story. It's not very nice. I love the devil out of that cat, though.
Oh, but that's poor Claire Ann. That must have driven her around
actually,
the bend.
I had to call her back. She was on the way to Chicago with my daughter, and I had to call her back to come drive me in because I needed to hold the cat in my arms. But anyway.
Well, let that be a lesson to us. I don't leave your fishing pole out where the cat can get hold of it.
That's right. Okay. It's a good story. Anyway, hey, and if you want to get Cat Versus Cat, $75, right? 217-244-9455. Let's not make it Todd Versus Cat. Okay, here we go. The numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade this afternoon. March wheat, finished the day down 0.75 cents at 291.75, with a high of 295, a low at 289.5. May futures, 303.5, the high, the low at 297.5, a settlement price there at 301, and they finished a half lower. The March corn for the day, 196.75, the high, the low at 94.5, and settled at 96.25, a penny and a half lower. May futures for the day, 204.75, the high, the low at 202.5, settlement price 204.5, down a penny and 0.75. July futures in the corn pit, down a penny and a half today, 209.75, a settlement price with a high of 11.75 and a low at 209.5. September corn futures, off a penny and a quarter, the high 219, the low at 217.25, the settlement price at 219, which is up on that high. And the December contract, 228.75, the high, the low at 227, a settlement price at $2.28.5 for the December corn, down a penny and a quarter for the day. March bean meal for the day, 5.05¾ high, low at $5.50, a settlement price at 5.01¼. This is the March soybeans, not the bean meal. 5.03½, the settlement price down, or rather up 2¼ for the day. The May soybeans, a 5.08½ high, low at 5.04, settled at $5.05, and they finished up a penny and a half for the day. Actually, the settlement price was 5.06½ and up 1½ for the day. November beans, 5.26, the high, the low at 5.22, settled 5.22¼, down a half. March bean meal, 151.20, the high, the low at 149.70, a settlement price at 149.70. They were up 150.50 for the day. And the March bean oil, 19.22, the high, the low at 19.03, settlement price at $19 even. And they finished at 19.17 for the day. March bean oil now, or rather, that takes the March oats now, 164.25, the high for the day, the low at 161.5, settlement price at 161.5, and they finished up 1/4 for the day, and the May oats were up a penny and a quarter, finished the day at 157.5. Now here's Celeste with the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
Okay, it looks like it was a mostly higher day today on the Merc. March feeder cattle, 101.25, the high, the low $100.45, the settlement $100.90, that up a dollar and a nickel. April, $100.95, the high $100.05, the low, the settlement $100.32.5, that up 40. May, 99.80, the high $99.25, the low $99.55, the settlement, that up 40. February live cattle, 92.45, the high $91.60, the low $92.12.5, the settlement, that up 90. April, 89.62.5, the high $88.65, the low $88.80, the settlement, that up 15. February lean hog, 70.52.5, the high $68.75, the low $68.77.5, the settlement, that down 195. April, 74.85, the high $73.65, the low $74.00, the settlement, that down 35. May, 75.60, the high, 74.60, the low, 75.50, the settlement, unchanged. June, 77.97.5, the high, 77.07.5, the low, the settlement, 77.82.5, that up 27.5. February bellies, 90 even, the high, 88.97.5, the low, 89.40, the final, that down 150. The Dow up 13, the NASDAQ up 3, the S&P 500 up a fraction.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Here's a letter from the Philippines, Dr. Science. The writer wants to know, Dear Dr. Science, for millions of years now, living things have evolved via the survival of the fittest. Has this process stopped now that even the weak survive?
The process stopped long before that. Evolution.